Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for May 26th, 2017. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sami, and we're here this week to preview the French Open from Paris, France. Before we begin this week's show, let's introduce our co-host Parsa. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing very good. Wish springtime was a little bit better here in Toronto. It's probably been one of the coldest springs that we've had, but other than that, I'm pumped for the French Open to begin on Sunday, and, you know, there's no time like the present to get this going. So, Parsa, we have second Grand Slam of the season upon us. You know, probably as many have said throughout the years, the toughest Grand Slam to win. Clay court tennis, you know, best of five for the men for 2 weeks. It's actually 15 days because they have three Sundays. And, you know, it stays the same for women, but still have to win seven matches. So, very tough, especially if you're a qualifier and you're trying to get through. A lot of compelling storylines. We have, you know, how's Andy Murray as the number one player in the world, you know, going to respond to this tournament coming in with very poor form. Subsequently, the number one women's player in the world, Angie Kerber, has had a very poor year. How is she going to respond? She lost first round here as well last year, but as we know, had a fantastic year, reaching at least the finals of the other three Grand Slams. Then we have Novak Djokovic, who's recently linked up with Andre Agassi. How will he perform as the defending champion? And then obviously we have Rafa Nadal going for his 10th title over here in the City of Lights. And it's going to be tremendous to see if that can happen. So a lot to cover this week. Before we step into the men's draw, is there anything, you know, as an overall that, you know, you're looking for as we break this down this week for everybody?
I mean, honestly, the number one thing I'm looking at is that we may have somebody we didn't think about holding the trophy at the end. So I think the women's game's got a lot of, the women's draw has a lot of room for somebody to come in that surprises us. And I think the men's draw has also the same sort of factor. I mean, you've got your favorites and we all know who they are. But after that, I mean, who knows who can end up in the semis? It's going to be very interesting.
Absolutely. And I think that you're going to, I mean, women's draw is going to be, you could easily have an argument that, you know, there's 10 to 12 ladies that can win that title. Men's side, realistically champions, I would say three, maybe four guys. And the fourth is maybe a stretch because he's never won that. So that's really, you know, how we're going to, that's my opinion at any rate. So Parsa, let's, without further ado, my friend, let's get right into it. So we start off with the men's preview. We have Andy Murray. He opens up, against Kuznetsov, and looks like he'll probably get through that one. Klizan could be his potential second round opponent. Almagro is in that section too, but I've heard that he's probably gonna get he's gonna pull out with a knee problem that he's had. He suffered against Nadal last week in Rome. So and then you got Del Potro. Also heard that he's probably not going to play because he's got some shoulder and arm issues. He lost early this week in Lyon, so he doesn't look that great, unfortunately, for Delpo. Isner's had a decent clay court run this year for him, but he did lose yesterday or the day before in Geneva, I believe. So, but he made the semis last week in Rome, which was good for him. And then we have Burdick, who's always good, you know, for a few rounds. Got Alex Zverev in a blockbuster against Verdasco in the first round. That's going to be an awesome one to watch. And then we have Kai Nishikori, who's still alive in Geneva this week. He faces off against a welcome name to come back to tennis, is Thanasi Kokkinakis, one of the best names in tennis. Young Australian, still young. He's been out for a couple of years. I don't think he's played a Grand Slam since the 2015 US Open. So great to see him back. I mean, youngster, unfortunately, has some really bad Shoulder problems, actually something you can relate to, right? I think he has some rotator cuff problems, just like
Yeah,
you, just like
and
you.
I think it was back to back, right?
Yeah, and then so he kept coming, and as I think you can attest to, that's a rough one to come back from. Now, question for you
Half
is,
of them don't make it anymore.
yeah, and when did you suffer your rotator cuff when you were playing?
Oh,
How old were you?
I was 24 years old.
Okay, so 24. So this guy's, I think, 20, 22. So
Something like that.
yeah, so a little bit younger than you were. And obviously, I mean, he's probably had tremendous rehab, you know what I'm saying? He's had the resources to do that. What do you think, what do you think his prognosis is on making a comeback into the top, 30, 20 in the world? Is that possible? Or is he just going to be lucky to be able to play again? What do you think is the extent of that overall?
It's completely a management issue. And the problem with the shoulder and when you've had surgery is that you can only beat it up so much before it needs to be flushed and you need to take your time. And for somebody who's 22, the rest of his body's going to feel amazing and he's going to have this sort of thing holding him back. So it'll be a matter of maintenance and having somebody there to make sure that his shoulder continues to stay balanced muscularly and allow the tendons to continue to pass the fluid, the lactic acid through it so that it doesn't become damaging or even chronic, because then, unfortunately, having a surgery that early, he's a great candidate to be retiring early. So it's something that he's got to manage unbelievably well, and there's a chance. Tommy Haas has had multiple shoulder surgeries. Maria Sharapova has had multiple shoulder surgeries. But they also have physios on their staff and are in constant rehabilitation. And Tanasi is a little younger, which is, I think, also a little different in that he doesn't necessarily have his confidence built in his actual game, so that he can't necessarily rely on that mentally. So I think there's a little bit of that psychology there too, and I'll bring an example is like Brian Baker coming back, who he was legitimately good enough to be a top 100 player, but had never done it before he got hurt, and when he came back, it was almost he was playing so well he just kept playing, and then he got hurt again. So it's because you sort of panic, you're like, oh, I'm playing well, so I have to keep playing, but you can't look at yourself in the same light as when you were 100% healthy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I mean, for him, he's one of the good guys in tennis. He's a nice kid, and he's not your typical Australian. He doesn't have really that brash type of personality that we've seen from guys like Tomic and, Hewitt and Kyrgios. So, it'll be a shame, I mean, if he can't get up to his potential, because he's a tremendous athlete. I mean, this guy's like, what, 6'4", 6'5", very strong kid, hits the ball massive, huge forehand, very, very fast. So, I mean, he's a jock, you know what I mean? And it would be awesome to see him back at full capacity, because I think he's great for the game, and he's got that mass appeal that he can, relate to a lot of different genres, out there. And so I'm happy to see him back, and hopefully he can do some damage here. So, Parsa, let's get back into, the draw analysis with Murray. Murray, to me, Parsa, I really don't know. I mean, one question that I had for you, and I said I was going to ask you, I think it's a good time to ask right now, is, we had a situation in Rome where Murray got his clock cleaned by Fognini. That's a really rough first rounder. Kuznetsov is not Fognini, and he's actually playing, I think he's in the semis this week of in Lyon. I believe he won yesterday. But at any rate, this is a much easier draw in the early rounds for me than a Masters 1000. So that begs the question, is it easier to win a Masters 1000 or a Grand Slam? I think overall somebody's going to say, well, listen, over five sets on the men's side, as you get to the latter stages, let's say you have to beat like a Wawrinka, Djokovic, and a Nadal. Okay, that's obviously super tough, right, in five set format. But if you don't have those guys, like Djokovic had last year, for instance, at the US Open, I mean, he had pretty much like three or four, retirements or withdrawals. It was a complete cruise to the finals, and then he lost to Stan, but nevertheless he made a Grand Slam final, right? Not even having to do much. So stuff like that can happen. In a Masters 1000, I think you got to earn it a little bit more, but it's a best of three set format. So I really don't know. I still have to stay with the Grand Slam just because of the pressures, five set format on the men's side. That would be my pick. You have any thoughts on that quickly?
Yeah, and you're just missing one thing, and
Yeah.
that's the everyone wants to win the Grand Slam. So
Yes.
that's where everyone's mentality is or mindset is. And so the battle to the end is more of that mindset, and every match is like that. So there's bigger money, bigger points, bigger prestige. So I think that you just have more coming at you and more to fend off. So I think just for that reason, I think the slams become everything in our sport.
Yeah, for without a doubt. Okay, well, I mean, look, you know what we're looking at, as I said, Murray's draw here. He's got a pretty workable draw here, but there's one guy who I think can do some damage here, and I'm actually taking him to make the semis, and he's had an excellent clay court campaign, very fit guy, awesome kick serve, on the ad side, very nice one-hander, and that's Pablo Cuevas. And he's got a pretty workable draw if you look at it. He's got a qualifier to play Zoomer, potentially, who's another fun guy to watch. You have Alex Zverev, who's had a tremendous clay court campaign, winning Rome, winning the BMW Open as well. He opens up against Verdasco, and that's going to be a rough first rounder. And you got Jared Donaldson also in there, Hubert Escobedo, another very fit American. We don't want to forget about him. And then you got Kai Nishikori, who's opening up against Kokkinakis. So that's a rough match to return to for Thanasi. But I don't know. I see something in Cuevas. I don't think he's going to win this tournament, but I would not be surprised if he makes the semifinals. What do you have there?
I can't. I have to go with form,
Yeah.
and heat. And the beauty of someone who's young is that they think they become invincible when they win something.
Okay.
And I think that Zverev has shown no signs of being the kind of person that gets complacent. I think he's on a mission. Every time he does something well, he backs it up and does it something better. And so,
That's
hey,
true,
you just won a Masters Series. Here's your chance to do better right now. And your draw is workable form in that, Cuevas is going to be ridiculously difficult. Verdasco in the first round is going to be ridiculously difficult. Murray, if he gets to that section, is going to be very, very difficult. Keen Shikori is going to be very difficult. They're all going to be challenges, but they're all not unbeatable. And Zverev for me is the one that's in form and perhaps ready to make his break here and get deep into the second week, which would be a tremendous result for him. At the same time, I think something that's a real possibility, and he's going to be my pick from this section.
Yeah, and that would be awesome. We want to see that next guy, and I mean, there is potentially no other next guy than this guy. Just to say it that way. And Zverev's been playing awesome this year, and he's 20 years old, number 10 in the world. I mean, realistically, you can't ask for much more at this stage from him. And so moving on to section number two, we got Stan the Man, former winner here. Proving that he can, consistently have deep runs in Grand Slams. And I'll tell you, Parsa, I'm not sure how much of Geneva you've watched this week, but I watched his match against Query yesterday. Lost the first set, came back 1-3. Very nice turnaround, especially in the third set. He really poured it on. And I saw the fire in his eyes. I saw, something clicked, and he was like, "Listen, man, I got a Grand Slam starting in a couple of days. I really got to get my act together here because I've had a terrible clay court season for my standards. And I got to get it going." He won this tournament last year as well, too, in Geneva. And I think that was a nice segue for him then to enter Roland Garros on a high. He did make the semifinals, I believe, losing to Murray in four sets, if I'm not mistaken. With that said, I think Stan returns here. Good vibes. He loves the big stage. He gets better as the tournament progresses. He opens up against a qualifier, potentially Dolgopolov or Burlak in round two, both very good clay courters, but I think he's got an excellent chance of overpowering both of those guys, even if he does lose a set, which I would suspect. He's got Fognini. If he gets that far, I would love to see TFO doing something here. I think he's another guy who's great for the game. I really like watching him in terms of his athleticism and his foot speed. It's tremendous. Gasquet is returning to action again, out of form, but he's got a great draw. opens up against a qualifier against Victor Burgas Astralis in the second round, who's, I think, 39 years old, 37 years old, so he's not a spring chicken by any means. He can get through that. And then to face maybe Mofis, again, who hasn't been playing at all. We don't know what he's going to be up to. Other candidates in this draw. This is basically the French section, right? Then you got Mofis, you got Sanga, you got Gasquet. All of them really haven't been playing. Sanga is back this week. I believe he's playing today in Lyon. He's got the semifinals. Kyle Edmund has got one of the biggest forehands on tour. He's there. Really nice, intriguing match between Nick Kyrgios and Philip Kohlschreiber. That's another pick'em for, first round encounters to watch out for. Really rough one for Nick, especially, considering he hasn't done anything really during his clay court season for various reasons, injury, death of his grandfather. So we wish him well. And then you have Cilic, who's, for me, my second pick to go deep here. I usually don't like only going by the seeds, but I got to go with Stan as my first pick to make the semifinals, followed by Cilic as my second pick. What do you have?
I couldn't agree more with your analysis. Yeah. Obviously, as always, spot on and very eloquently put. Stan having fired his eyeballs, that makes it very worthy of a semifinal run.
Yes.
There are very likable guys that you'd love to see come through the section. I'm not sure that they have the Grand Slam experience necessary. You look at the two Frenchmen, and they're both very highly ranked players and very, very good. But generally, the emotions of the French crowd and all that, it will halt their run in around the 16, probably max. And so that really leaves you with one man standing. I don't think Cilic, to be honest, can play at the highest level necessary on the clay with the footing. I think he needs a couple of things to go his way. For example, a court surface that skids a little bit more. So if it's hot the next 2 weeks, maybe I think Cilic may have a chance. But he does need a couple things to sort of go his way for him to make a deep run here. So for that reason, I'm going to go with Stan the Man again. I think we're going to get surprised again, Nima. But I think Stan is going to be in the semi. I'll leave the cliffhanger for later.
Sounds good. Okay, moving on to quarter number three, we have Milos Raonic, who's, one interesting thing, Parsa, that I've noticed that, Raonic last year, he said, or I believe it was last year, he said, I'm not the type of guy who's going to be playing, 2, 3, 4 weeks in a row. But lo and behold, I know he's been injured and he was out of action for a while, and so he came back fresh relatively after his hamstring injury, but he played, I believe, Turkey. He played in Istanbul, he played Madrid, played Rome, and then he's playing this week in Lyon. That's 4 weeks in a row on the clay. So I don't know if that's necessarily the best move for him. I don't know if it's because he's like, I have, finals of Queens and finals of Wimbledon points to defend, which is a ton of points. Or he's just scared that his form is not there, or he's trying to work himself into form by hitting a lot of balls on the clay. Nevertheless, this is, I wouldn't even say it's his worst surface. I think he's not a bad clay quarter. I mean, he's got an awesome kick serve. He moves, he has a little bit more time on this surface to hit his shots. But he's going to have a rough first rounder against Steve Darcis. I mean, Darcis is one of those guys, he's not going to give you anything. As we saw a few years back, he beat Nadal at Wimbledon. He knows what he's doing. And then you got Dutra Silva, who's a good clay quarter. Yuzny, who is a wily veteran. That's going to be a tough second rounder anyway you slice that one. Garcia Lopez is lurking with Jules Muller. And then you got Corinna Busta, who's, for me, one of the most informed players of this year. Let's completely say that. Let's give him all the credit in the world. That means he's had a tremendous season. You got, let's be honest, a clown like Janovic, who's, completely underachieving for what he's been, his God-given talents. You got Robredo, another workhorse, from the Andy Roddick era. You got Dan Evans, who's not really a clay court. He's probably going to lose first, second round, but he's going to get ready for the grass. He's going to do some damage there. You got Dimitrov, who's the 11th seed, coming in at a pretty high seed. Parsa had a tremendous start to the year, but has faded relatively since. Grigor has lost the last couple years in the first round too. So he's got Stefan Robert. I would be shocked if he loses that match. Robert's, I think, 37 years old himself, so he's not not the youngest guy, and he's a hometown favorite, but I would definitely pick Grigor to get through that. Then you got Jack Sock, who would potentially set up a mouth-watering fourth-round match with Rafa Nadal. They had this Babolat thing that they did yesterday on center court, you know, picking questions out of the trophy, the men's trophy, and asking each other. So that was, it was a little bit cheesy, but it was funny how they were doing that, and then they might face off in the fourth round. So, I mean, is there any point in talking about anybody other than Nadal here? I mean, Nadal doesn't have the easiest draw, per se, compared with some of the other top guys. Benoit Paire, at home, you know he's a shot maker. You know he's going to come out full tilt with that backhand, which is one of the best on tour. You know, he's got him first off. Second round, he's going to probably cruise over Hase. And then, you know, you got Troisky there. I don't know. I really don't see anybody in this quarter really disturbing him that much, and I would be shocked if he even loses a set en route to the semifinals for Rafa. What do you have?
I would love to hear from someone who's listening to this podcast to figure out who can come through the section besides Rafa. Right, we know one guy can beat him. It's one certain style. It's got to be a rainy day. The guy's got to hit massive. Does that player exist in this draw?
Only two guys, really, that you would have to go with. Maybe not. I don't think Yuri Vesely has what it takes. Sock also likes the lively conditions, like as Nadal does. Dimitrov doesn't have the firepower. Janovic absolutely has the firepower, even potentially overall more so than Raonic. But the likelihood is that Janovic is going to lose. We have his unknown opponent as a qualifier in the first round. He's probably going to lose first round. So with that said, you know, no. And then Raonic is not the Soderling type of player, right? He doesn't really have, you know, that brute force from the back of the court as a guy like Soderling did, or, you know what I mean, somebody to that effect that it can just bludgeon the ball. So even like a Karen Khachanov, you know, one of those guys who's just got really nice footwork, gets a boom, you know what I mean? So I think for me, yeah, it's Rafa all the way to the semifinals. That's
what a dark horse pick, Nima.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I've got Rafa going through, too. I'm not sure many people will have anything other than that.
Yeah, yeah. It would be shocking, really. I mean, he's en route to number 10, and we'll talk about in a sec if we think that he can, you know, win this thing. Then we're finishing off now with the men's draw here with our fourth quarter, led by Djokovic, who, you know, we saw some pictures. I also watched some of the, they had an RG had a video up yesterday on Twitter with Agassi and him on court, and he was just hitting, and, you know, Agassi was giving them a couple pointers. And one interesting point that I made to you, Parson, and, you know, you being a coach now from a day-to-day perspective, and, you know, you're in it all the way, like, you know, you train these guys, and you go to tournaments, you travel all around the states, and you do all of these things, you know, you're in constant contact with them. I told you, and I don't think you knew, that Agassi, from what I heard, and unless I was misinformed, he's not there for the whole tournament. So you're starting off a partnership with this guy, right? And it's a trial, and I get all of that. But you're not there for the entire event. So, you know, you got Djokovic opening up against the likes of Gronolas or his countryman Tipsarevic, or, you know, Misha Zverev, who's by no means a clay court specialist. Probably his worst surface. He's just, you know, he had a tremendous last few months. That's why he's seeded for this event. You know, Djokovic's not going to lose a set until the fourth round, in my opinion. Regardless of his form this year, I would be shocked. Also adding to the fact that that's why I think Masters 1000s in the earlier stages are without a doubt harder than Grand Slams. And then, so Agassi's going to leave in the third round? You know what I mean? Like, I don't really know how that helps Djokovic. Does he, at that case, he doesn't really even need to be there, right? Like, you could just talk to him on the phone, do a couple of practice sessions, and then bounce. I really don't know. Maybe he's staying for the whole tournament. Hopefully, you know, Djokovic is going to play for his hotel, and he's going to stick around. But it's going to be really interesting for me to see how, I respect Agassi tremendously in terms of his mind and the way he's so eloquently speaking. I mentioned that in our previous podcast. So I'm very interested to see how this develops. But, I mean, we have a very interesting, you know, dynamic here. We have a guy like Dominic Thiem. We have to go basically, we got Dominic Thiem and Djokovic to make the semifinals. For me, top two of the three guys, along with Nadal, who can actually win this tournament. So who is it going to be? Is it going to be Team, who's had the far better clay court run, or is it going to be the Djokovic, who has, not even comparable, Grand Slam record and has made the latter stages of so many Grand Slam events? Like, who do we go with? Then we have a guy like David Goffin, who cannot be taken lightly. My dark horse, I'm going to give it out right now, is Borna Coric. How does he hold up here? So there's going to be, Ramos Vinolas, Monte Carlo finalist. He very has some poor results lately, and then you got Lucas Pouille, who's going to be, without a doubt, for me, the best French hopeful in this draw. So this, to me, is a very interesting quarter, perhaps the most interesting. With everything that I said, personally, I'm going with Djokovic to make the semifinals. What's your analysis of this interesting quarter?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of things can happen here. A lot of moving pieces, a lot of good matches, that's for sure.
Yes.
I mean, and you didn't mention Steve Johnson, who does okay on the clay, who's playing with a heavy heart after losing his father
Yes, yeah,
a couple
exactly.
weeks
Let's
back.
shout out to Steve for tremendous. And I saw his match. I saw his return match, and I saw him. He was very emotional at the end of his first round victory. I believe in Geneva, if I'm not mistaken, it was in Geneva. And he was very emotional. He had tears in his eyes. He didn't even like he won the match. And he just walked off the court. You know what I mean? He didn't stay for anything. Like, I didn't want to throw out some balls or whatever. He just said, "I gotta get out of here." So. That's a very relatable thing to a lot of people because it's not, it's very serious thing that happened to him, and we wish him all the best. And as he's very close with the Top Notch management company as well as Grand Slam Tennis Tours and Top Notch Tennis Tours. They manage him, which is a relationship that we're very close with. So we wish Steve all the best. And he's got a very good. You can see him having a good clay court game. I mean, he's got it's worse surface for sure. But in terms of his kick serve and his massive forehand, he can have some decent results here. So I wish him all the best. And he's, a super fit guy, and his draw is pretty good. I mean,
And you know he'll battle,
he's going to battle for sure. He's going to give absolutely everything he's got. And I could see him making the third round. I could see him making maybe the second, third round for sure. And he's 25th seed, which is awesome. And let's see what he does. But moving on with that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm supposed to pick right between Team and Djokovic.
Yeah, or if you have somebody else, you're more than welcome to pick another guy.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's Team, I think, has been the second best clay court in the world. He's a little bit of a bandwagon guy for me right now.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go with Steady Eddie and say Nole is gonna build his form. And in regards to his coaching situation, I think the coach's biggest job is the preparation, actually, before the tournament. And then the improvement in the first couple rounds, because that's where you set yourself up for a great second week. So I think the work in the second week is actually less besides cheering in the box, and Agassi's probably not going to cheer anyway. So I think that the work that needs to be done is actually done in the first 2 weeks, which would be a week before the slam and the week of the first round of the slam. And then I think in the second round, it's sort of you just let the ball roll and get going. I don't think he's going to be relying on Agassi for tactical advice in terms of breaking down opponents. I think he probably has people to do that. So it really comes down to establishing a mindset, getting him in the right place, maybe getting a few pointers on how to hug the baseline a little bit more, how to take the ball a little bit earlier, how to be a little bit more patient, to not panic. No, understand when to pull the trigger. I think that's what Agassi is going to bring him. And I have a feeling Djokovic is just going to dig his shoes into the court and show some pride here and put up a good result.
Yeah, and you got to say that. I mean, we might be in store for the match, an amazing match with Nadal and Djokovic potentially in the semifinals. I think that's going to be, an awesome affair, and really looking forward to that. I mean, drop whatever you're doing. Call in sick that day because that's going to be, one to watch. So, Parsa, I mean, I'll give you my, what I'm thinking in terms of my semis forward. I have Cuevas and Stan. I'm going with Wawrinka to make the finals once again of the French Open. I have Nadal Djokovic based on this year. Gotta go with Rafa. I'm going with Stan and Rafa. Does Stan finally lose his first Grand Slam final? I say yes, he does. And I have Rafa Nadal hoisting this title. And one very important thing, Parsa, and we talked about this before going on air. Everybody's like, Rafa, 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 can you go with anybody else? But let's come up with that major stat, right? Rafa is going to be 31 at the end of this month. The last guy over the age of 30, Parsa, and you dug this up right before we got on air, was Andres Gomez over Agassi in the finals, 1990, right? 27 years ago was the last guy over the age of 30 to win this title. So, and Nadal has not won a Grand Slam since the 2014 French Open. So it's not like this guy's been knocking off slams the last few years. He has 3 years is a long time, man. You know what I mean? For a guy of Nadal's caliber, right? So this is not a very, this is a foreign thing to him at this stage in his career, right? Because he hasn't won a slam for a long time. So he's not a shoe-in. He's going to have to battle, especially towards the latter stages. But I think he's put in enough work and he's built enough confidence and he's gritty enough at this stage with his fitness and everything that encapsulates his greatness to go forward and claim his 10th title here as well as his 15th overall slam. What are your thoughts?
That's obviously a very solid pick. I've got Zverev facing off with Wawrinka in the top half, and I've got a Nadal versus Djokovic in the bottom half. And gosh, it can go either way for me. The reason I say that is because Zverev can definitely change direction on Stan. He definitely can hurt Stan off Stan's second serve. I think he can really put a beat down on him, and I think that the chances for Stan will be limited against Zverev as Zverev hits the ball big. That being said, I think that's going to be something like a 6-4 in the fifth for Wawrinka,
Okay.
and then I think Nadal is going to upend Djokovic, and I think that's going to be a barn burner. I'll go with something like 6-4 in the fourth for Nadal, and then we're going to end this thing with a tremendous championship match. I think we're going to get something like Wawrinka up 2 sets to 1. I think we're going to get multiple break points in that fourth set for Wawrinka. I don't think he's going to come through. I think that he's going to start to fatigue somewhere towards the middle of the fifth, and I don't think we're going to get Nadal at 7-5 in the fifth over Wawrinka in the final.
Wow. So that's, you just got me excited, man. That's, you painted a nice picture there of what we potentially might be in store for. So, there you
Wouldn't it be
have.
awesome?
It would be, yeah, it'd be awesome for the game and, just to end off Nadal's comeback, as I'm sure that a lot of people would say. So, okay, Parson, moving now quickly to the women's draw here. We have Kerber, who, as we've mentioned, has had, terrible year. I don't even think she's a top 10 player right now in terms of her form. In this draw, we have, Petra Kvitova, who's coming back from, that horrific, incident that happened with her where she had an intruder cut her hand in a struggle at her in her condo in the Czech Republic. So awesome to see her back as the 15th seed. We also have Sam Stosur, who's a good clay courter, but has hanging around but not doing much. I don't see too many deep results from her in tournaments. I'm not even sure how she's ranked 23 in the world, but maybe I just haven't been following her results as much as I should be. We have Vinci, who, as we know, has some nice results in the last couple of years. I believe this is her last season too. Wozniacki, who's been playing better, but clay has never really been her best surface. Kiki Bertens, and then we have my pick right now to move through this section is Svetlana Kuznetsova. Just think, I love her work ethic, under the radar Russian. And, for me, no question, she's going through to the semifinals. What do you have?
Difficult section for you, but I'll give people a little bit of excitement.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a youngster going through here.
Okay.
I think it just seems to work out that way that it, she's not a Grand Slam champion, but man, if there's a time for a youngster who doesn't know any better to start to perform, it would be now. I think she's been doing well, and there's really no challenge, meaning there's nobody that's so far out of range for her. If she believes that, then she can do it. I think Cece Bellis has got a great opportunity here to make a deep run into the second week, and that's like Dark Horse Central going on right there. That's actually going to be my pick. I think that she's got the game to sort of fly around and keep lots of balls in play and allow these ladies here that kind of require faster courts to break down. I think her tough match will be Wozniacki, but I think she can break her down in a grind fest somewhere in that third round. So I don't know. I'm going way out on a limb for the lack of a more informed player. I'm going to go with the rising star and say that Cece Bellis is going to be there in the semi.
And Parsons, did you see her? I know you were in Orlando last week, right? Or around that time. Was she down there as well when you were there?
Was not, no.
No, okay. Yeah. So I thought maybe you had seen her hit some balls. Because I know you've been, you know, speaking highly of her lately. So I was just, you know, I was just wondering if you had seen her play in recent weeks. Okay, so that's what we have for that quarter number one. Moving ahead now, we have defending champion versus a former champion in round one. So this is going to be an awesome match, Parsa. I mean, you got Muguruza, defending champion, as I said, against Francesca Schiavone. You know, feisty Italian. I mean, she's going to give you absolutely everything she has. You know, her last French Open. And, I mean, can she beat Muguruza here? I think she can, personally. So, I mean, for me, this for me is not a French Open for the favorites. In terms of on paper, I'm going with a lot of upsets here, and it's going to be all over the place. So for everybody, get ready for that. I like, you know, potentially a player like Baczynski, made the semis here on a couple of occasions, and I think she can do it again. I mean, if you look at her draw, it's very workable. You know, you got Sibulkova lurking down there as a sixth seed, but she hasn't done much, Parsa, on the clay this year, which for me is very disappointing. You know, Venus Williams. I think Venus at this stage, you know, especially with her sister on the sidelines, you know, expecting the birth of her first child in the fall with Serena. I mean, I think Venus got to look towards the grass. Maybe I could definitely see her as a major threat there. You know, Kiki's coming in, McDonough, who has had a nice clay court run. Can she deal with the pressures? That's what I'm wary of for her more than anything. You know, Lucic Baroni. Again, I don't think clay is her best surface. Shelby Rogers. Parts, if I'm not mistaken, did she make the quarters here last year? Or was it the year before? I think it was last year, right?
So I'm not sure, but I know she's had a good result
here. Yeah. So if it was last year, then you know that she's, you know, she can play on the surface, so watch out for her. But with all of that said, and then Gavrilova, who's another player who's done some damage in recent weeks. I think she's playing really well this week as a 24th seed. So maybe she's my second pick in this quarter, but... You know, after analyzing everything, I'm going with Baczynski to make the semifinals. What do you have?
I mean, very, very challenging. I think the winner of that first round match is actually going to make the semi.
Yes.
Muguruza Schiavone. Schiavone has actually been in form in her last hurrah. Although, what a bad matchup for her with Muguruza, as Muguruza can just take time away and won't have
a lot of firepower. Like, yeah.
So that being said, who's going to win that match, Nima? You have Muguruza or you have Schiavone?
I have Schiavone.
That's a great upset type pick. Very challenging for me in this section. There's just a lot of variety. You know, as you mentioned, you've got Rogers who can play well. You've got Milanovic, who you actually picked in your top five, I believe, in the last podcast. Mm-hmm. Baczynski, who's made a couple semis, Sibulkova, who can light up at any time. So there's a lot of just unknown going on around here. You know, Lucic Baroni, who's just going to absolutely blaze the ball. I mean, what's going to happen here, Nima? Wow. And Muguruza is a little banged up. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
For me, then gosh. I just, for some reason, I want to say Schiavone, and my heart wants to say Schiavone, but I think Muguruza is going to win. I'm going to go with Muguruza in the semi here.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a good pick, and we'll see how she responds. Excellent player. I mean, you know, you look at her game technically, she could definitely, you know, be around for many years if the motivation sticks around, as well as, you know, the fitness. Those are going to be the two main things from her, because I think technically her game is... You know, Garbine's game is very sound. Moving on to quarter number three now, we have Svitolina. For me, you know, I've been talking about her now for a few months. She's, I think, 31 and 6 on the year with four titles. For me, the overwhelming favorite to win this entire tournament. And you know, with that said, you know I'm taking her to make at least the semifinals. Here, other players to look out for: Simona Halep. How is, you know, she going to respond? You know, Parsley, let's mention that her and Bouchard are entering this event with torn ligaments in their ankles. So that's not what you want to have coming into a Grand Slam, right? Then other characters here, we have, you know, Vesnina, who won Indian Wells, hasn't done much since. Madison Keys really looking to ignite her season at this event, but I don't think it's going to happen on the clay. You know, Suarez Navarro, definitely somebody to keep your eye on, especially with her clay court pedigree. So some nice clay quarters in this, you know, in this draw. We got Konju, you know, as in 29th seed, you know, very nice player. So, you know, lots to look at, but with all of that said, I gotta stay with, you know, with Svitolina to make the semifinals. How about yourself?
A terrific pick, Nima, huh? You don't want to take one of the ankle injured players to go through.
No, I think I'll stay away for this one.
You can't trust the torn ligaments, huh?
No.
All right, it's one of those things that you know, you go to form again, and but your form is hobbling, and that would be Halep, and so you're not sure, and then you've got Svitolina, who's your probably second in form. In terms of the year going anyway, and how can you not sort of ride her back here and say, hey, take me to the semi, make me look good? Because that's basically what I'm asking her to do, and definitely what you're asking her to do. And so let's root for her together, Nima, and let's get Svitolina into the semi here.
Okay, perfect. I like that one. And now into the fourth and final quarter here. It's led by a very, can I say, unheralded, you know, second seed in Karolina Pliskova. I mean, what had, I mean, apart from winning, well, look, she won Cincy last year, and then she made finals of US Open. So based on her hard court results from the end of last year, towards the end of last year, which was tremendous, I'm not sure if that warrants her coming as number two seed, you know, around 6 months later, 6, 7 months later, right? So I'm not sure. And I think that you're going to see that, you know, come to fruition here. She's probably going to lose, you know, first, second round. But who moves on? You know, you got Konta as the seventh seed. You know, and it's, for me, Parsa, when I look at this quarter, you see some decent players like Cornet is here unseeded, but she plays well here in front of her home town fans, as well as, you know, Garcia, another French woman who's going to be looking to make some damage. Coco Vandeweghe, big game, but I don't think clay is her best surface. You know, how about 25th seed Lauren Davis Parsa from the USA? What's your thoughts on her, and can she do some damage here?
Moves extremely well, can counteract and counterpunch. She reminds me of a younger version of Sibylkova. She can counterpunch and change direction unbelievably well.
Okay.
She's aggressive, but her problem lies when she has to play somebody who has some sort of variety, like a lefty that can swing her out a little bit further, or somebody who can slice and dice a little bit. And so there's those sort of tricky players that can get her upended. You know, so you look at that, and let's say she even got to the quarter and someone like Radwanska was there, she
Yes.
was going to lose that match. So I don't know, tricky, but can definitely make a run here. It's good enough to get a little bit deeper, and has to be a little bit more flexible to get to the next level.
Okay. So, I mean, for me, I'm going with, in this section, I'm going with you know, more Mortoglu player who I've been following now for this year, you know, ever since I've been doing some work for them, and really like what she's up to and her game. She's, you know, she trains in France constantly, so, you know, she's going to be used to the clay, and that's going to be Pavlenchenkova, one of the longest names in the women's draw, but, you know, also the 16th seed. She's been doing some good stuff this year, and I'm taking Anastasia to make the semifinals. What do you have?
I have to go with Steady Eddie here. Even though she hasn't done much, she sort of takes advantage of draws like this, and this, she keeps her ranking in the top 10 and the top 5. So I'm going to go with Agi Radwanska to advance to the semis here.
Okay. And with Radwanska, who's still in search of her maiden title on the slam, as Maria Sharapova's, manager would remind us that she's actually a journeyman, which was obviously the first wrong thing that he said, instead of woman. And I don't know how you can call somebody who's made slam finals a journey player, but that's a conversation for a different day. But with that said, so I have Kuznetsova, Baczynski in the top half, semis. I'm going with Kuznetsova to make the finals. Lower half, I have Svitolina versus Pavlyuchenkova, and I'm going to have Svitolina moving through to face Kuznetsova, and I have Svitolina winning her maiden Grand Slam title at the French Open this year. And what do you have, Parsa, to end us off here this week?
I've got a wild little thing going on there. I got a Cici Bellas and Muguruza in the top.
Okay.
And I've got a Svitolina and Radvanska in the bottom.
Yes.
And I've got Muguruza just pummeling Cici Bellas in a nervous match, something like 1-1. A little bit embarrassing for the American, but a great result nonetheless. Svitolina and Radvanska, I've got something dangerous happening, like 8-6 in the third for Radvanska.
Okay.
And then on those heels, Muguruza can't play against Radvanska, so I'm going to have Radvanska holding her first trophy.
Wow. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise,
okay. Surprise. So, Parsa, one more surprise. We have, who do you have as your women's dark horse? Are you going with Cici Bellas still? Or you can pick somebody else.
I'll go with the second one, and that's going to be for me. I have two more, actually, that I think can actually do damage.
Okay.
I think the first person would be Cici Bellas that everyone knows, because I said it already. The second would be Francesca Schiavone, who we've spoken about, but is still a dark horse, even though she's won this thing in the past. Her form hasn't been there. I have another one, actually.
Okay.
I've got Shelby Rogers, who I think we're waiting for her to put it together as an American. When she does, she's got a full, complete game. She just doesn't realize it yet, or she's not mentally putting it all together, but she can definitely do it. And my fourth and final one would be Lauren Davis. I think if the draw works out in her favor, she can go very, very far here. So look out.
I'm going with only one pick as my dark horse for the women's, and that's Maria Sakkari from Greece. I'm not sure how much you've seen of her, Parsa, but I've been talking about her a lot on Twitter and with a lot of other people, and I just think that she's got a tremendous kick serve, very feisty, like a very upgraded version of Sarah Arani. Much better serve, not even close, moves better, same feistiness, plays with good margin, and I think, awesome kick serve, and I think you're going to see her really do some damage in the years to come, young player from Greece, so watch out for her. Parsa, and before we end off the show, I didn't get your dark horse on the men's side. So I have Borna Coric. Who do you have?
That's a difficult pick, Nima.
Yeah.
A draw that has to be workable? I mean, yeah, I could go with Steve Johnson making run, but that's not he's not out of the top 20, right? He's in the top 20?
He's 25.
Okay, so there you go. I can go with a heavy-hearted Steve Johnson with an upset there against team.
Wow.
And just something that, he's got an unusual game and something that sometimes emotions can fuel you or they can end you, so we'll find out pretty shortly how he's going to feel and how his overall foundation is going to be mentally, physically, emotionally, mostly mentally and emotionally. And so, if things are put together, sometimes that empowers you, and you do greater than what you're capable of. And so
exactly,
for that reason and that reason alone, and personally, I would love to see him do well. It'd be a great story. So Steve Johnson's my guy.
Yeah, and as we saw in the NBA with Isaiah Thomas losing his sister right before the playoffs begun, they got to the semis, losing in five games to the Cleveland Cavaliers. But you could see based on emotion before he got injured, the guy was just playing out of his mind. And, if Johnson can, extract some of that sadness that he has and put it into, some pride as well as, some effort, then let's hope that he can have a deep run and do some damage here. Okay, Parsa, my friend. So with that said, everybody out there, thank you so much for listening this week. Parsa and I will be back next Sunday to recap week one as well as look forward to week two. In the meantime, you can catch Parsa at ParsaSammy on Twitter, myself at TennisConnected. You can also follow us at TennisConnected.com, our Instagram page, our Facebook page. Make sure to watch out for all of our daily reviews, previews, draw analyses, everything that you can think of. Also, this podcast was brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours. Make sure if you're still looking to get down to the French Open for any packages to hit them up, as well as the upcoming Wimbledon Championships and US Open. Finally, Parsa, thank you so much for joining us this week. Thanks, everybody, again for listening. Make sure to also download this podcast on iTunes. Be good. Remember, the French starts this Sunday in the States on Tennis Channel, in Canada on TSN, and I believe in Europe on Eurosport. That's where you can catch all the action if you're not there live. Be good. Enjoy the second Grand Slam of the season, and we'll talk to you guys in about 10 days' time. Thank you. Bye.